Mr. Right. That's right with a W. It's a play on words, and playing with words is my profession. I'm the prolific novelist Richard Bunn, and on the Mr. Right program, I sit down with another writer to talk writing and writers and writing and the craft of writing. Thanks so much for listening, and please enjoy. Mr. Right! Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Mr. Right program. That's right with a W. It's a play on words. So happy to be here and to be introducing our exciting guest this week. He is an actor, he's a comedian, he's a comedic actor, but most importantly to me, he's a writer. Please welcome Andy St. Clair. Andy, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Richard. Good to see you again.
So great to have you here. I'm Richard Bunn. Now, Andy, you are a writer for television here in Hollywood. You've written for such programs as Sirens, mm-hmm. the executive producer, Dennis Leary.
Yep.
And you are currently a writer for ABC's Dr. Ken.
That's right, the Dr. Ken Jeong.
Yes, starring the very funny Ken Jeong.
Yeah,
we know him from the silver screen, as well as the what do you call the TV instead of the silver screen?
I would call it. Would you idiot box?
Do people the old idiot box?
The old idiot box.
Great. It must be a lot of fun to put pen to paper and to write a script. And then to actually be there on set, watching the actors perform what you've written. That must be a lot of fun, hanging around the set.
Yeah, you know, we're lucky. We shoot on Tuesday night, so Wednesday is really the beginning of our week for Dr. Ken.
Okay.
So Wednesday we do a table read, and then on Thursday and Friday, we'll do a network run-through, and then we get to watch our words that are written down, and it's pretty enjoyable. And then we, whatever people laugh at or don't laugh at in that small little run-through, we take it back and we rewrite it. So.
And you've got to get in there and change some things around is what you do. That must be a challenge. I would be tempted. Now if I'm in the studio and these actors are doing the lines that I've written and they're not getting any laughs, I'd be tempted to just scream at them and say, "What are you doing? Do it better. Make the people laugh." Do you ever do that?
No. I think that would be that's a different tactic. I think in general, I think you want to like laugh and make the actors and everybody feel comfortable.
Sure. And you're an actor as well, so you know how actors need to be pampered.
Yeah. Well, it's not even pampered. I could try it and I could come back and, you know, next time and talk about it.
Do you ever just scream cut just in the middle of a scene?
I've never had the pleasure to scream cut.
Right.
That's reserved for the director.
Yeah. I've heard that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I suppose, you know, once you scream cut, you've ruined the take anyway. They're going to have to stop.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Maybe it's, you could scream any word, I think, would ruin it.
Yeah.
So you don't, like...
Fudge!
Yeah, that's a great one. Or you could be like, peanut butter!
Hammer!
Flegel!
Hammer! I could only think of hammer.
Hammer, right?
You could
even make it up. You could make... I just said flegel. I don't even know what that word
is.
Not even a word.
It's something, and it's ruined the take. Well, You get your point across, but probably at the risk of losing your job, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. You could loudly grumble.
Right. Maybe not my best piece of advice yet. Ken Jeong, interesting. He's an actual doctor as well, isn't he?
He's a real-life doctor.
That's amazing.
He doesn't actually do... he doesn't go to a practice or anything anymore. He's obviously too wealthy to do that, but... He still gets his license every year, and he could he could write you a prescription.
Have you ever seen him perform surgery?
No.
No, you wouldn't have.
I have not seen him surgery. I think he's like general practice.
Okay.
Your basic, you got a cold doctor.
Wow, talk about, I've heard of multi-hyphenates before, but actor, producer, writer, doctor as well?
Yeah.
Have you thought about going back to medical school yourself?
I've not considered it. I feel now at this age, I'm just a little old
now. Yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
It's like another
sense.
8 years is a lot
no,
of work.
No, you're right.
So, but maybe. I mean, we'll see how this, what happens with Dr. Ken.
Now, literary devices. Let's talk literary devices, okay? Onomatopoeia. As a refresher for our listeners, onomatopoeia is when a word you use sounds like the sound it is describing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, boom. The word boom sounds like the sound of something booming, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it completely. So, like, a buzz.
There you go.
Hiss.
Give me your top five onomatopoetic words, Andy St. Clair.
I think one of them you nailed early, which is boom.
Boom.
I like boom a lot. Splat.
Splat. That's a good one.
I like splat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I also like using that, like I think the word splat's great. Like, hey, I'm in a, you want to watch a splat film?
A splat film?
Yeah.
Unfamiliar with this entirely.
It's a splat film. You know what I mean with the splat film?
I don't. What genre of film is a splat film?
Splat.
I think. What happens in this?
Well,
in these movies,
I think it's kind of like, I think it's sexual in that way.
Okay.
I think that's when I think of splat films.
You're talking about pornography.
Or splat film.
Just a splat film. Okay.
So boom. Splat.
Splat.
Crack.
Crack. That's a good one.
Crack.
Mm-hmm.
I do like buzz a lot.
Ah, yes.
That's
what a bee says.
Yeah, a buzz. Mm-hmm. It's a buzz. The bees are really good, I feel like, for these boom, buzz. You mm-hmm. kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like hiss. I'll stick with hiss.
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 The snake says hiss.
Yep. How about you? Do you have a five?
I certainly do. Let's see if I can fit them all into a tiny story here. The cat said meow. That's what a cat says.
Mm-hmm.
As he walked across the piano, plink, plunk, plink, went the piano keys. And the cat crawled onto the ground and lapped from the bowl of fizzy root beer. The cat preferred root beer to water. A dog also lived in the house who said, bow, wow, wow. How many is that?
I think that's four.
That's four.
Did plink, plunk, plink? Was that one?
We'll count that as one.
Okay.
Oh, the cat had trained himself to use the toilet. It went into the bathroom to defecate, at which point there was a kerplop.
Wow.
Kerplop.
So kerplop is five. So meow was one.
Meow.
Plink, plunk, plink.
Plink, plunk, plink. There was fizz of the root beer.
Yeah.
This was a root beer drinking cat. A dog who also lived there said bow, wow, wow. And right. Then kerplop.
Kerplop.
That's five.
That's your five favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a pretty big range of onomatopoeias.
All right, Andy. Now, I know every writer has their own process. I'm sure you have your own process, your technique, your mm-hmm. way of working. Do you write at the computer? Do you write with pad and pen?
I'm a computer guy.
Right into the computer.
Yeah, and you know, write ideas down, mm-hmm. whatever I think of, right into the computer.
Just straight into the computer. That's great. Streamline it.
Yeah, it's easy.
Mm-hmm. Myself, I write at my electric word processor. But if we're talking about process, how do you get the ideas out of your head and onto the page?
Mm-hmm.
You may have your own way of doing things, but I, of course, have the bun process, also known as the bun technique for writers and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love it if I could guide you through it right now.
It's yeah.
the way I've written all of my hundreds of novels, such as Richard Bunn and the Mummy Meet the Vampire. And the prequel to that, Richard Bunn Meets the Mummy,
mm-hmm.
As well as The Marvelous Electric Boy. We could waste a lot of time listing off all of my novels.
Sure. But
for a little taste of the Bunn process, mm-hmm. Let me guide you through that right now.
Okay.
So, here's what you're going to do. Make sure all of your electronic gadgets and your gizmos are turned off. Your cell phone,
mm-hmm.
your Palm Pilot, all of your beepers and your buzzers. Everything is turned off, and you can get those distractions out of the way. Relax yourself.
Great.
Great. Take a deep breath. Great. Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take another very tiny deep breath. And now I just want you to Look with your mind's eye into your fantasy imaginationscape and simply describe what you see. What do you see in there?
There's a bearskin rug.
Bearskin rug.
And there's a one of those new Coke machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's hundreds of flavors.
I see.
You know, it's like there, and there's all, and you can add like cherry, lime,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. You can add it to any of these Coke products.
Fantastic. Who's there? Who's there? Who do you see there?
There's a woman with long curly hair.
Mm-hmm. What's her name?
It looks like her. It says she's wearing a shirt. It yes. says, and it's a little name tag on it.
Yes.
On that name tag, it says Barb.
Barb. So that's her name then.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Barb. And
do you see a calendar anywhere?
I do. I see a calendar. Yep. Right. Looks like it's almost in the corner of mm-hmm. the room. And it's got like X's through each day.
Yes.
And this is the day I stopped here on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. What year?
Of 1995.
1995. So that's what year it is. Fantastic. So what's going on in the room with Barb in the bearskin rug?
Barb is... there's a desk.
Yes.
Very close to Barb.
Yes.
And so she's opening like the top drawer
uh-huh.
of her desk.
Yes.
And she pulls out a piece of paper.
Mm.
On this paper has it's a phone number.
Uh-huh.
You can see the number. It says 773-412-921.
Uh-huh.
And she and then
is that enough numbers for a phone number?
It's not. I think it's missing it's one last one.
Okay, very good. Yes, yeah, so take yeah. it away.
And so she looks at the phone number and then she puts it back in the desk and shuts the drawer.
Yes.
And then she walks towards the front doors and on her front door of the but I guess it'd be you know as her door is closed.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So her door to this office, there's a poster.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cat. Hanging on
uh-huh.
to like a tree, and it says, hang in there.
Yes.
So hang in there. She opens it, and it's kind of hazy, but you see like this mustached man. He's got like a mustache and kind of curly-ish hair.
A mustachioed man.
Mm-hmm. And then he gives her like a box, like a shoe box.
Mm-hmm.
And then he opens the shoe box, and there's it's a pistol.
Wow.
In there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Andy St. Clair, that was marvelous.
Yeah, that was it. I like that.
That's
the bun.
Right there, that's three pages of Barb and the Mustachioed Man. Yeah. Right there.
It was great.
Word for word, it's done. You keep going on that, you self-publish, and you've got yourself a book.
That's how I do it.
No revising, no editing. I'm a writer. I'm not an edit man.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's much easier to like when you get in the zone.
Yeah,
you know that feels
the bun good. Zone.
Maybe you should call it that.
I should call it the bun zone.
Put one in the old BZ.
Okay, we're now to a very exciting segment here on the Mr. Right program. This is called the Write-In. And for this segment, one of our wonderful listeners has actually written in a tiny story, and I'm going to read it aloud right here on the program today. This is going to be a real treat. A writer of great potential, in my opinion, by the name of Ben Cedar, and he has written a story called Bay, and that's spelled B-A-E. And I did some research and found out that is a term that the young people used to refer to their boyfriends and their girlfriends. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we use that word quite often on Dr. Ken.
Is that true?
Try to keep Dr. Ken hip, in a way.
It's what the hip youngsters are saying.
Yes, we use bae a lot.
Well, I like the way this is all dovetailing because mm-hmm. we have here, for the first time ever, the tiny story Bae by the writer Ben Cedar. The foreman shouted, "Hey, Dominguez, who taught you to drive a crane? Bozo the Clown?" I want so badly to reply, "Oh yeah, Ron? If I wanted advice from you, it would be about how to have carpal tunnel gloves and a bad attitude. Buenos noches, penis breath." But I don't say anything. It's hard to concentrate when there's so much wrong with Bay. Later, Bay's stepmother came over with Olive Garden and her stepson, Glenn Chambers. Bay was dressed up like Colonel Sanders. I'm thinking of making her my wife.
Wow. That was good. I really was interested in that Glenn Chambers at the end.
Yes.
That was the guy. I was like, whoa, what's going on with Glenn?
He just pops in at the end out of nowhere. We know virtually nothing about him.
That's just cock confidence in that writer.
Is absolutely. That story took me for a journey. That was amazing.
What he also says, I think you're in their carpal tunnel gloves.
Carpal tunnel gloves, what yes.
Are those just gloves that give you carpal tunnel? Or are they when you have carpal tunnel?
I would imagine the latter, because who would want carpal tunnel?
Exactly.
Nobody.
But maybe that's the one of the guy who said it sounded like he was getting advice about that. The story was pretty deep. I'm not sure.
Yes. Well, I took it to mean that these are gloves that you would wear for your carpal tunnel syndrome. That's how I took it. But wow, who was expecting Bay to be dressed as Colonel Sanders?
Yeah.
It was the last thing I was expecting.
I did not see. And that's a good, that's why, you know, it's good writing. There's a lot of just left turns.
Left turn.
A lot of left turns. I also like he said penis breath. Like, it hurt more than dick breath.
Wowie, wow.
I wonder if he wrote both and was like, you know what, I'm going penis.
Let me read that again.
Mm-hmm.
Just the last portion of that sentence. Buenos noches, penis breath. Ooh, wow. That packs a punch.
It does. He hits him with Spanish, and then, yes, he brings English back.
Buenas noches. Good night in Spanish. Wow. What a great cathartic release it would be to shout that at someone. Buenas noches, penis breath. Wow. I love that. Those words pack a punch. That's why I love words. I love language. That's why I'm a writer. That's a nice segue, actually, into what I'd like to get to next. And it's something I call the word game. And I would love it, Andy St. Clair, if you would play it with me right now.
I would love to. Let's do it.
Fantastic. So, the word game. Now, the way this works is I'm going to think of a word, and I'm going to say it out loud to you, all right?
Okay.
And I want you to take it in, all right, and think about the word.
All right, I got it.
Okay?
Yep.
Yeah,
I know how it works. Yep.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Horse.
Race.
But, what do you, wait a minute.
The word game, where you say a word, then I say a word. What makes me think of that word?
I didn't say for you to say a word, though. I said take it in, think about the word.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so that
don't jump in with another word you did.
Right, okay. So you want you to say the word, and then we're thinking about the word.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But then I thought, okay. Okay.
You don't need to say anything jumping in like that. I didn't ask for that at all.
Right, but it seems... Okay. I got it.
Do you understand the word game now?
Yeah, I do now. Okay. I do now.
Fantastic. All right. Okay. Well, I don't want to use horse now, so...
Any word will work.
Having trouble thinking... Now all I can think about is horse because I can't not think about horse because that's...
Right, we can still use horse.
All right, hang on a second. Okay. All right, here we go, the word game. Pony. Fantastic, that was great.
That's how it works.
That was great, thank you for playing the word game.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Were you thinking about it?
I did, and then I also thought race again, because you could also pony race.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you didn't say anything and ruin it again.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem, that's all right.
But I did think about the word pony, which is...
Yes.
You know what I mean? I guess that's what you really want.
Yes, words have power.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you could mull over with any given word.
Pony.
Pony.
Mm-hmm.
Buenas noches, penis breath. That's just a great, that's a great turn of phrase right there.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of penis breath, here's another fun fact about Andy St. Clair. You actually got your start in writing, this is true, writing erotic fiction under the pseudonym Sir Arthur Bonan Doyle. Isn't that right?
That's right. I thought my family would be embarrassed to use my actual first or last name.
Right.
So I kind of scrapped that, and that was the one I...
Well, fantastic.
With.
And we were talking about this off air, and I said, I would love it if you would bring one of your old stories and maybe read a passage of it right here on the program. And you ready to do that?
Yeah, I did. I did. I brought one. This was from the first ones I wrote, and the name of it was Glazed.
Glazed.
Yeah. Not a bad onomatopoeia.
Glazed, yes.
Is that onomatopoeia?
Very good. Let's hear.
Our eyes met from across the street. We both stopped dead in our tracks. Mm. The rain was coming down hard now. Mm-hmm. We slowly walked towards each other, not knowing each other's name, mm-hmm. or so we thought. Before we could say anything, we were kissing, right there at the intersection of Hollywood and Vine.
Oh, my.
Then the kissing became more intense.
Yes.
I started unbuttoning my pants, she doing hers. She was wearing a black bra and no underwear.
Oh, my.
People were walking by us saying things like, get a room, and which way to Century City? Oh. We didn't care. We were banging. Hard, sloppy, in the street, banging. After I glazed her stomach, she turned to me and said, hi, I'm Betty. Betty Flamingo. She was the murderer. You're under arrest, I tell her. She didn't flinch. She leaned over to me and said, glaze me again. Right here, right now, on Hollywood Boulevard. My body made up my mind for me. We were banging again. She was glazed like a donut. That's like the last couple paragraphs of the book, Glazed.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I will need to get a copy of that.
Yeah, that was that was
hot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty.
And it sounds like there's a murder mystery in there as well.
Yeah, it was a little.
Betty was the murderer.
Betty Flamingo was.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was pretty good actually. It was one of the better ones.
One of your better, certainly.
Yeah.
That's and just a written at a much younger age, but just a hint of the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Within a young Andy St. Clair, Glazed. Pick up a copy if you can find it anywhere. I know I will.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just give you, I have a couple of them.
Do you have a couple of them?
I do, I can give you a copy of Glazed.
Fantastic.
It's, I feel like maybe, you know, looking back, reading it, the word glazed was in a lot of that book. I might have overused that word a little bit.
Well, I don't know if you can overuse it. We are almost out of time, sadly, Andy, but I would love to know, what are you working on now?
Sure. Well, you know, after our first season's done here in March, I'm going to have some more time, so mm-hmm. I've been writing, as you were saying. And,
yeah.
The couple that I'm working on right now is a show. These are TV shows, a couple of these are.
Uh-huh.
This one's called Gary Mancake, the Man Who Eats Pancakes.
Gary Mancake, the Man Who Eats Pancakes.
Yeah, and this episode, I guess.
Talk about literary devices, that's a rhyme.
Yeah. Yeah,
fantastic.
It's pretty memorable. Pretty mm-hmm. memorable, you know? So this one's called Cowboy Up with Gary Mancake, the Man Who Eats Pancakes.
Okay.
And Gary, who obviously has a pretty large pancake addiction.
Yeah.
He gets into a pancake eating contest versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh. Well, good luck, Gary. One man versus 11 men on a football team?
Well, there's probably 50, actually.
Oh, you know, entire team?
The entire team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Even the second and third units.
Yeah, whatever.
The backup punter is in this pancake-eating competition.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
That's his. So Gary Mancake, but he's the man who eats pancakes.
Right.
And so I think he's going to be tough to beat.
Well, with 70 people, I don't know. Well, I know I'm tuning in, though.
Right. Wouldn't you want to see it? Let's say there's 50 guys,
yeah.
and they all have 3 pancakes. That's 150 right there.
These football players are only eating 3 pancakes?
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, that's average. They average 3.
Well, they must have already had breakfast then.
Right. Well, it's true. So he's going to have to drop, what, like 200, 250 pancakes?
He's going to need to eat 250 pancakes.
I think it's possible with Gary Mancake.
Well, I do like that you've built the anticipation because all we know is there's going to be a lot of pancake eating.
Yeah, if you like watching pancakes being eaten, you're going to like this.
This is your show.
Yeah.
This is your show. Fantastic. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, it's going to hopefully, you know, we're pitching it to True TV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're kind of hoping it lands over there.
I love it. I love it. Sold.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, a couple other ones. There's one called Oh No, He Didn't.
Okay. What's that about?
It's also a television show about the family of the Ron and Margaret Didn't.
Ron and Margaret Didn't.
Yeah. And that's their name. So
their last name is a contraction.
Mm-hmm.
The contraction didn't.
Yeah. And it's, you know, pretty much your basic
multi-cam. Did they change it from did not? Or it was always didn't?
I always didn't.
Okay.
Just from, and so it's always like Ron's always getting into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like his family's like, oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You didn't, right.
Oh, it works
either way.
A couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, no, you didn't, that phrase, but also, oh, no, you didn't.
Yep.
It's your last name's didn't.
And it's a kind of a multicam. You know, we're hoping to take that out to some networks and to see.
I love it.
If people are interested in that.
That sounds great. Wow.
And the other one right now is, would you rather be married or not? This one's a film, my film I'm working on.
Oh, a film. I thought it was going to be a game show.
No, that's a great idea. No, this one is Ted and Carla have to say if they're going to get married.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost like a would you rather. We play it almost the entire time with different would you rathers. You know, like would you rather, you know, have a pocket full of salamanders or I hit you with a 2x4 three times a year.
And you have to select one.
Yeah, and we do that the whole movie, but then, you know, in the middle or towards the end, you know, he drops it, would you rather be married or not? And then...
Don't tell me what happens. Right. I don't want to know.
Great.
But I do know, in the other example, I'll take those salamanders.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, you don't even need to force them on me. I'll just take the salamanders.
Over... Now, three times they get hit you a 2x4 and you never know it's coming. Or every time you reach into your pockets, you have a pocket full of salamanders.
I want the salamanders, and you're not fully understanding me. We don't even need to be playing Would You Rather. Just, we walk out the door of this recording studio, and if you have some salamanders, I will take them from you.
Okay.
I'll just keep them. You don't need to force me to.
I wasn't aware of your love for salamanders.
I like salamanders.
It's just a kind of a fun lizard.
Yeah, they're little guys, and they squirm around.
Yeah. I think it'd be hard to keep them in your pockets, though. Are you keeping them in your pockets?
Well, I have zippers on my pockets, or I could sew zippers on my pockets, so I'm not concerned about that part at all.
Would you afraid you'd kill the salamanders?
No, there's plenty of room. I could wear cargo shorts.
Okay, because it seems like those things are going to die pretty quickly.
They can breathe through the fabric, can't they?
Denim?
Linen? Should I wear linen?
I guess, yeah, you'd have to change a lot for these salamanders.
It's not going to be a problem for me to wear linen cargo shorts if it means I can carry my salamanders around.
Well,
and you can take that to the bank.
Well, I will.
Well, thank you so much, Andy St. Clair. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Richard. It's always good to see you.
Always great to see you. Let's go out for nachos or something after this.
Buenos nachos, penis breath.
Oh, no, you didn't.
That's right. Coming 2017.
Absolutely. We're having a lot of fun. Thank you so much, listeners. I'm Richard Bunn. You've been listening to the Mr. Right program. Goodbye.
Episodes of Mr. Right were recorded at Earwolf Studios and engineered by Ryan Connor and Sam Kiefer, and recorded at Werewolf Heart Studios and engineered by Alex Burke. Mr. Right is produced by Mark McConville and created by Paul Britton. The theme song, Hot Decaf and a Fancy Scone, was written and performed by Alex Burke, Brandon Dickert, and Gordon Bash, and engineered and produced by Neil Baldock. Mr. Right is a Howl original and a production of Midroll Media.